Now we want to read a passage tonight, just a short passage of scripture together from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians and the chapter 2, Ephesians and the chapter 2. And we'll commence our reading together at the verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. For in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We'll end our reading there at the verse 9. We thank God tonight for his precious truth that we have before us, and we trust the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. Let us just bow briefly in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for our meeting and for our gathering here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for thy precious truth and for the gospel. The gospel, that good news and glad tidings, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, O God, for thy mercies and thy goodness, forever sending thine only begotten Son into this world. We thank thee, Lord, for our Saviour's life, sinless life, spotless purity, for his death upon that cross, and for his glorious resurrection. He has conquered death. We thank thee that he ever lives to make intercession for us. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that, Lord, thou wilt bless thy word to each and every one of us tonight, that thou wilt save those that are without Christ. Lord, draw them to thyself and save them this night, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us turn now together for a few moments tonight here in this passage of scripture that we have read together. Now, the Holy Scriptures are a kind of a family album of the human race. It presents to us many pictures that are all true to life, and what we are like by nature, what man is like. As I say, many pictures are presented to us concerning this world and the state of the world that we're living in. And of course, it's not only true of this passage of scripture, but we have it right throughout the Bible. There, for example, let me read from the book of Psalms. There in the Psalm 14, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. What a picture is presented to us of mankind and what we're all like by nature. What an awful picture it is. Now, of course, when we have our photograph taken, perhaps an individual photograph, personal photograph, or it may be a family photograph, well, we have to do our best to present ourselves well, and we dress up and we prepare, and We look forward to it. And that's all very fine. That's what's expected of us. But of course, any picture, any photograph can only concentrate upon the outward appearance. What we're like outwardly and how we look. Now it's only the Word of God that shows us the true picture, and many of them, what our hearts are like, what we're like inwardly. And men and women tonight, that's the most important thing of all. We read there again in the book of Jeremiah, this tremendous statement, Jeremiah chapter 17 and the verse 9, where the prophet tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So you see, there's nothing covered over at all. There's nothing painted artificially of what we are like concerning our own hearts and our own lives. That's right. That's the testimony that we have right throughout the Word of God. Now, Paul is writing here to the church at Ephesus. They were known, of course, for their wisdom and for their sophistication and all that sort of thing. But Paul gives them a picture, reminding them of their past life, what they were like before they came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There, for example, in the verse 12, he reminds them, he says, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He says in the verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And here is the up-to-date picture, reminding them of what they were like in the past. They had no hope. They were without God in the world. But now a great change has taken place. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, he shows them a picture, if you like, of the future as well. Now, we'd rather not concentrate on what we're going to look like depending on what age we are, perhaps in 10 or 15 years' time, or 20 years' time, or 40 years' time. We don't want to think about that at all. But he reminds them here of the glory that awaits them and what God has prepared for them. And he speaks about the ages to come. Note here in the verse 7 what he says. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So thank God tonight, there is an age to come. There's a glory that's going to be revealed. Every child of God, every saint of God is going to share in that age to come. And it is, of course, without end. We're thinking about eternity. Our life here in this world is brief. Life at best, we often sing, is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. But isn't it wonderful? The more we think about it, the more we meditate upon it, the glory that awaits every Christian, everyone saved by the grace of God. We're going on to glory. And we're going to share in his glory. And to be with him forever and forever. So he gives these people, reminding the Christians here at Ephesus about their past and about the present. And he doesn't leave it at that. He shows them a wonderful image or a wonderful picture of the glory to come. And they can look forward to that. So we want to think about this for a few moments tonight. But we're thinking first of all of their former state. Our brother Howard reminded us tonight, and of course it's true of every one of us, we all have a past. No one is ever born into this world a Christian or in fellowship with God. But we're born sinners. We're born strangers to the grace of God. It doesn't matter whatever our background or wherever we might come from or the color of our skin. We're all born in a sinful state. And he reminds the people of God here of Ephesus of that great truth. Now we note here in the verse 3 that the unconverted man is a child of wrath. A child of wrath. Look at his words here in the verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation, or that is our way of life, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And what an awful condition, what an awful position to be in. And isn't there multitudes of people like that tonight? Isn't this the picture that is brought before us as they go about their business and go about their work every day in this world? But the fact is that they're under the wrath of God. They're out of Christ and they are strangers. Now, we'll note here that the Apostle Paul, he makes no attempt whatever for to improve the past picture. As I say, he's not trying to paint it up, make out this people to be something that they were not. How honest, how true is the word of God? You see, it's dealing not only with the practices, the outward practices of man, but you see, tonight it goes right to the heart of the matter. And so many people don't like that. So many people say, well, after all, we do a few things that are not pleasing, that are not right. But we're all good at heart. We have all good hearts. And everything is going to be all right at the end. We're trying to be honest. We're trying to live well. And that's how it is. We're not really bad people. But of course we must come to the Word of God, the Scriptures, for to get, as it were, a true picture of what we are really like. And that's what the Apostle Paul is doing here. They were like other sinners. Yes, they boasted in their pride and everything else, the Ephesians, and they felt that they were far advanced of other people, people that they would have referred to as the heathen people really afar off, not as sophisticated as they were, not as learned as they were. Oh, but this is true of us all, isn't it? We are all on one level tonight, as I say. No matter where we are, no matter where we come from. Yes, it's true tonight that one man may be very gifted, and he may be very learned in everything else. He may have many letters after his name. Then you take some other individual, and they are just as we would refer to ourselves and refer just ordinary individuals. No special gifts or anything else. They have nothing at all to commend them in this world. And of course, this is true no matter how religious a man might be. The fact of the matter is that the Scripture puts us all on the one level. And as our brother quoted that scripture tonight from Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and they have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. We've all come short. And by nature, we are all under the wrath of God as we're born into this world. Yes, one man may be very religious, all right, and very respectable, and many people will put themselves in that line tonight. And you can take another individual. Well, he's just living perhaps no better than an animal. No better than an animal. He's down in the mire, as it were. He's living for the drink and the immorality and the drugs and everything else. And he scoffs at the things of God. But when as God looks down upon the two individuals, and as he reveals their hearts and shows us a true picture of their hearts, they're all sinners. And they all come short of the glory of God. The vilest. We have a picture over there, haven't we, if we turn for a moment there in the Word of God to 1 Corinthians and the chapter 6 and the verse 9. 1 Corinthians and the chapter 6 and in the verse 9. And again, the Apostle Paul reminding the Corinthians as well concerning what God had done for them. How the Lord had made them his people. And reminding them also of their awful past, some of them. The lowest of the low, as we would say. The vilest of the vile. And he says there in the verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, homosexuals, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." You see, they had been washed and cleansed in the blood of Christ, made new creatures, brought into the church of God. But what were many of them like? Were they not living like dogs? Were they not living like pigs? They were down. They were the lowest. And they were under the wrath of God. And he says, "Such were some of you. But now they were sanctified." They were new creatures in Christ. They were new people. And the Apostle Paul is reminding them of that. Under the wrath of God, that is, they were liable to suffer God's anger and eternal ruin. Oh, if you're not saved tonight in the meeting. If you're not saved and you're out of Christ tonight, think about this carefully. Think upon it. You're under the wrath of God. And liable, if you keep going on that way, liable to God's anger, to be the object of his anger and eternal ruin for all eternity. How awful that is. How awful that is. Yes, they were ruled by the prince of the power of this air, of the air. And the Apostle Paul here speaks of that as well, here in the verse 3. "In time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Under the prince of the power of the air. You know, there's many people that don't believe in a devil tonight. They say it's all just a fairy story and there's nothing to it at all. And then they laugh at the very idea. But when you look out upon our world and upon our society and everything that's going on tonight, men and women, there's a power behind it all. There's a force behind it. There's darkness behind it. And the prince of the power of the air, that invisible ruler, but he's at work. He's at work. And of course, his whole aim is to bring men and women down into a lost eternity. Don't we read there in the book of Genesis? Man, when he was created in the image of God. And as the devil looks upon this world and looks upon men and women, he sees something of the image of God in them. And he hates that. And he's a hater of the Almighty God. He's a hater of the gospel. He's a hater of men. Isn't he referred to in the scripture as the strong man armed who holds his goods in peace? That's who he is. Likened unto a strong man armed, he wants to keep hold of those that he has power over. He wants to keep them from the gospel. He wants to keep them from trusting in Christ and coming to faith in the Lord. And that's the devil's plan for you tonight, if you're not converted. He wants to keep you in his grip. He's afraid of something. He's afraid of the glorious light of the gospel shining into your heart, lest you be saved. That's the enemy. But note here as well that the unsaved man, he is without Christ in the verse 12. That at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Oh, you see, tonight, if you have Christ, dear friend, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everything. You have everything. We often sing in that hymn, don't we? Every time we sing it, we use these words. What great words they are. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. You have the Lord. He's your friend. He's your Savior. It may be that there's somebody in the meeting tonight. And it may be that you're passing through a very trying time. Our brother brought out in his testimony tonight. Everything doesn't always go smooth for us. There's trials. There's temptations. We can experience hard times. We can be cast down, discouraged, and all the rest. But oh, praise God, the Lord is with us. That wonderful hymn sums it up well. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Dear Christian, the Lord is with you. He's interested in you. He has his hand upon you. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. There's a great passage there in the book of Hebrews. And it came to mind today as I was thinking upon the message. It's there in Hebrews in the chapter 4 and the verses 15 and 16. And what wonderful words these are. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. At this particular time, yes, you may be feeling the pressure, the trial, the opposition of the enemy. You may be downcast, but don't forget, dear child of God, tonight that there's one who intercedes for you in the heavenly places. There's one who represents you. There's one who knows your every care. He is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. Yes, but the unsaved man is without Christ. You may be somebody tonight and you're thinking in the meeting here, well, I have everything. I have everything. But have you got the Lord? You may feel that you have a great life. You have an abundance of everything. Everything is going well for me. I'm prospering in this world. I'm in need of nothing at all. And not only that, the future seems bright as well. But oh, how quickly everything can change. How quickly everything can change. Our circumstances, our health, our strength, all of these things. And can I ask you a personal question tonight? If things were to change for you suddenly and trouble was to come and you're plunged into the depths of despair, to whom can you go? To whom can you go? Without Christ. Without Christ. And oh, how awful that is. How awful that is. When death comes and knocks at the door, what an awful picture is set before us here. Having no hope and without God in the world. No hope. Now, doesn't that sum up well and describe our world tonight, and even our own land, and so many people that we know, our neighbors and our friends that we're acquainted with? Yes, they may be prospering, no thought of God whatever, not interested in the gospel, not interested in the things of God, not interested here in the mission in Springfield. And we trust in the nights that remain that they will be, and they'll come in under the sound of the word of the Lord. They have no one to go to in a time of trouble and a time of crisis. We read there these great words again in John chapter 10, the verse 10. We read there the words of our Savior. He says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, there's an abundance of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord spoke of it there in John chapter 4. He referred to it there when he spoke to the woman at the well. He likened it unto a spring, springing up into everlasting life. That's what the Christian has. A spring of life within them. And it's ever, as it were, springing up. That's the standing of the believer. But oh, how sad. How sad it is for the man, the woman, whoever they might be, who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. They are without Christ. Without real life. Without this abundant life. And again, Peter speaks of it in his first epistle, his first letter, the chapter 2 and the verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. That's the greatest privilege, men and women, in the whole world, to be one of God's people, to belong to him, and to know his fellowship and his friendship, and to know I have one that is with me in this world, now the people of God. That's the greatest of all. And then the unsaved man is without hope, as we've already mentioned there in the verse 12 as well. Without hope. Not awful. How many people are walking around tonight and they have no hope? In fact, they don't even want to think at all about their latter end. And they don't want to think about eternity and about death. They would say, please don't talk to us about that. We don't want to hear anything about it. We're only interested in the here and now. Without hope. Oh, how empty life is without God. How empty the whole thing is. How futile life without Christ. No hope. And that's the state. That is the state of our world tonight. That's the state of our world. No wonder there's so much unhappiness and there's so much misery, sadness, darkness everywhere. No hope. We can only imagine for some individual for to go to the doctor, he's examined, and then the doctor turns around and says, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid I can't give you any hope for the future. Your time is short. Your time is limited. What a shock. What a shock to the system. How will you stand before God, the Almighty God? Every one of us are going to have to stand before him. The scripture tells us, men and women, tonight, that he is the judge of all the earth. He's the judge of all the earth. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. A fearful thing. Are you ready? Are you ready for to meet the Lord? Are you ready for that judgment day that's going to come upon this world? You know that our world is not going to go on forever. Time will cease. Time will come to an end. Everything is just not, I know there's something in us all that thinks, well, it's going to continue on decade after decade after decade. World is just going to go on, but it's not. The Lord will come again. And he tells us in his word, he says, I will come again. And to his people, he says, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And the Lord Jesus Christ reminds in these solemn words, that we have read many a time, and I'm sure we've heard many sermons preached on him. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. You see, they had religion. that had the name of God and the name of Christ upon their lips. And they will say when they come to give an account before the judge of all the earth, the Almighty, they will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many mighty works? We have prophesied in thy name. And in thy name we have done many things. You remember the reply of our Savior. He will profess unto them, depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you. Into everlasting fire, everlasting destruction. Oh, but here is the picture of the present, as we've already mentioned here in the verse 4. In the verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. What a wonderful, how rich the Lord is in mercy. How rich. I often think of that man there that was healed, laid at the gate of the temple. And there he was laid every day by his friends or by his neighbors, crippled, couldn't walk. And then Peter and John came his way and he was healed. And you remember what is said of that man? He went walking and leaping and praising God. Couldn't help himself. You can just picture him going down the street, down the road, walking and leaping and praising God. Oh, what a wonderful picture of God's mercy and of God's salvation. Can this be said of you tonight? Yes, it's salvation by grace, undeserved mercy. And as we've already mentioned, the picture of the ages to come. The age to come. Where will you be? There's a heaven tonight. Praise God for glory. And every Christian will be there. But men and women tonight, there's a hell also. There's a lost eternity. There's a lost eternity. Where will you be in eternity? God is rich in grace and in mercy. Trust him tonight with all your heart and come to him. He is rich in mercy. The Lord is not going to say when you come to him, well, I have very little left. I'm sorry, very little. No, there's an abundance. And he's able to save you to the uttermost. Why would you not trust the Lord for life eternal? Why would you not become a Christian? Why would you not enter into fellowship with God and look forward to the glory to come? May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight. I'll hand back now to the Reverend Porter. Thank you.